Hey guys, welcome back to the Love in Dubai Show podcast. It is Friday morning. It's a bit cloudy out, but we had a big show for you, which we hope will make your day a little bit better. We talked about happiness. We talked about the resident who was called out for trying to abandon a cat. Can you even? And also how impeccable the vibes are throughout Ramadan in Dubai.
As well as I always tell you, do not forget to subscribe to the Love in Dubai Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And do not forget to enjoy the show.
Good morning, Dubai. Happy Friday, Ramadan Kareem to all. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai Show, where we go through the top trending stories that everyone across the country is talking about. Our top story for you today, the UAE ranked among the happiest countries in the world.
As well, the UAE calls for a ceasefire in Gaza.
We're talking about the Dubai resident who called out another for trying to abandon their cat.
As well, volunteers handed out over 70,000 iftar meals in 1 week only.
It is day 168 since the genocide began in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip. The death toll has risen to 31,988, while 74,000 people have been injured and more than 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes.
Dubai Iftar time for today is 6:34 p.m. Of course, you can find up-to-date prayer times on Love in Dubai website.
And finally, the weather. It's another foggy morning in Abu Dhabi. Please drive carefully if you're down there, while it's expected to be a cloudy day in Dubai, with temperatures expecting to hit highs of 27 degrees Celsius. We have a big show for you today. It's Friday morning. Good morning to everyone. Where are you watching from? Working from home? Did you make it to work? Are you in traffic? We feel your pain, and that is why we have a giveaway.
Yes, a beautiful giveaway for all the ladies out there. And even if you're a man, you want to give it to your wife, girlfriend, friend.
Get those brownie points. Yes. If someone, it's a beauty subscription box, which basically means, and thank you, Jamali, for sending it to us. They send like a couple of different products for hair and beauty and such. So you've got five big products in here. I love products so much.
I mean, I love them too.
I just love them.
We're girls, that's why.
What is it? It was Mother's Day yesterday. I sent my mom products and she was just like, you know me so well. I was like, because like a cream, a big tub of moisturizing cream. Oh, it's the best
gift. That is so sweet of you. You know what I've done? I ChatGPT'd a poem in Arabic. Since I don't know how to like really write very descriptive Arabic poems. And she likes that. And then the first thing that she said was like, Farah, who wrote that for you?
Arabic ChatGPT, no way. Interesting.
Literally. And I was like, It was so descriptive and so passionate and so beautiful. And my mom was like, Farah, who wrote that for you? Who wrote that for you? Because I remember my mom struggled a lot teaching me Arabic when I was like younger, but it is what it is.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm blown away for some reason. Good morning to everyone. If you're tuning in, we see your comments and also to our podcast listeners. So if you want to win this beautiful beauty box for you or that special someone in your life, what do they need to do, Farah?
They just need to tag us. It's as simple as that, of course. And we are going to be picking one winner who is going to be lucky enough to get the beautiful box. And by the way, Jamali in Arabic means my beauty. So it's very nice.
Makes sense. Jamelia.
Yes.
I thought Jamelia was beautiful.
Jamila means beautiful. Jamali means my beauty.
Ah, so you're focusing on your
exactly.
beauty. Speaking of beauty, I have a question for you.
Go on.
So we had Nasser sitting in this seat not too long ago. He's a great comedian. And he spoke to us about the ice cream test.
Okay.
So the ice cream test, I want to get your thoughts on it, is when he said, I'm taking someone on a date. I will pay for it. And I'm happy to pay for it. However, after the date, a first date, I do the ice cream test, which is I've paid for dinner and I bring her for ice cream. I don't want her to pay, but I want her to offer.
Okay, I don't agree with that on my own personal level because it
that was quick.
Yeah, I wouldn't because I'll tell you something. It takes me literally minimum a month to feel comfortable around the person. And I would, by the way, offer.
What does that have to do with paying?
Because at the beginning, like let's say it's the first date, right? I'm going to be like, do I like the person? Do I not like the person?
He could be thinking the same.
Yeah, he could be thinking the same, but I'm going to like him based on if he is a provider or not. You know what I mean?
That's the standard.
Yeah. And then, after that, you know, if I like him and so on, I will for sure offer. I will for sure, 100%. For sure.
That is a really good insight into Farah. If you're taking her on a date, you'll know she likes you. So, but isn't it, but do you not feel weird if you don't know if you like the person that you're allowing them to pay for you? Because it might lead to nothing. You're just getting to know each other. And if it doesn't lead to anything, you've essentially just accepted a free ice cream. Meal.
I mean, I'll tell you something. Technically, I feel like, personally, like if we are going out on the first date, the way that you are is going to get me to think if I will be going on a second date with you. And then maybe on the second date, I would for
sure offer. But why would that be based on if they pay?
It's not about if they pay. It's just like, I'm not comfortable enough to say anything. I'm just like observing. I'm more of like an observer kind of personality on the first date rather than just like
maybe taking notes.
Literally taking notes in my head. And then I go back home.
Where did you study?
Literally.
Are you financially viable?
That's how I do that.
Where is your home located?
Literally, that's what I do.
You know what I remember is my boyfriend took me for ice cream on our first date.
Oh, that's sweet.
Wasn't he testing me?
I don't think he was. I don't think he
I
was.
I think he might have been.
I mean, but you guys are together now. How long have you guys been together for?
A year, 2 years, a year and a half.
Okay, mashallah. I hope you guys stay together forever. But that's the thing. I don't think he was testing you.
I don't remember. I would always offer, by the way. Yeah, no, but he might have been testing me and I could have passed. I always offer. And I offer especially at the beginning, because later on when you're dating, then it can be like someone gets it, someone gets it. I don't think it matters that much.
Yeah.
But at the beginning, I don't want to feel as though I'm indebted to someone, especially if I don't like them. So actually, a marker for me, if you ever date me, is that if I like you, I'll probably let you pay because I know I'll get you back at a later date.
Yeah.
If I don't like you, I'll be paying for that bill because I never want to see you again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's a thing in like, sometimes in Ireland, like guys will even text back and be like, oh, I got that date. Can you send me that? Like, yeah, it's very different to, I think there's a very different standard. It's much more,
equal.
It's much more equal. I think like in some cases, obviously the girls will like if guys pay for it on the first date, but actually people are more equal. And I have heard horror stories of guys messaging after a date being like, hey, can you send me the cash?
I would block the person if they do that. I would literally block. I'm not even joking. But literally, I'd be like, block, you're out of my life, bye. But, you know, the thing is like, I would offer, but maybe on the second date, not on the first date. Because the first date, I'm just there like taking notes because I'm either going to see you again or not.
Well, that's what he's doing. I think it's after the dinner. He takes you for the ice cream. Anyway, so if you have been taken for ice cream on the first date, ladies, it is a test. It's called the ice cream test. And you don't have to, in Nasser's opinion, he doesn't want you to pay, but he wants you to make the move. He wants you to do the purse fiddle. They're like, do you want, he wants that.
Yeah, but then if he is going to say yes, I get the ick.
He wasn't going to say yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but because like at the same time, like the
it's
first
such a dance.
Date,
it's
I know,
such a dance. It's a
I
difficult
know.
Dance.
I feel like, whatever.
So let's jump into our top story. It's Friday morning. Good morning to everyone for tuning in. It's so exciting to see you all and your comments coming through. So our top story for you today, the UAE ranked among the happiest countries in the world. So of a list of all countries, the UAE ranked as the 22nd happiest country. Saudi, these are more countries in the region, which also featured in the index, was at 28 and Bahrain was at 62.
As well, the list is ranked by 6 factors, including generosity, freedom to make life choices, and perceptions of corruption.
The top list of happy countries, so in the top 3 were Nordic countries, Iceland, Denmark, and Finland. However, it's actually worth noting that they have difference in rankings, and in some cases, the rankings favor the young or the old.
As well, interestingly, in the UAE, these differences favor the old in a happiness ranking for those over 60 years old. The UAE came in at number 11.
So apparently, you get happier here the older you get. And I think that's basically referring to probably not retirement age yet. 60 could be quite young, depending. But we're looking at that kind of age group of people. Mm. Imagine retiring here.
That would be amazing.
With loads of cash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Need the cash.
Oh, that's a perfect equation, I would say. Literally.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine, like, you know, like you have a lot of money and you're retired. You know, you want to live your life. Khalas, you're done with work. You're done with your kids. You're done with everything. You have your grandchildren and so on. And you're just like at the beach with like a drink.
Yeah.
How amazing.
And also, I think, is the factors as you get older and what matters, safety, healthcare. Mm-hmm. Imagine, I was in the hospital not too long ago just with a friend, and she had a private room for 2 or 3 days. And it was just like, that would just never happen in other countries. It's phenomenal. And imagine mm-hmm. peace of mind as maybe an over 60s son or daughter, knowing that your parents are here receiving that medical care. It's just amazing.
And as well, it's very safe. You know, there are a lot of privileges that we have living in the UAE that other countries do not offer. Safety is one of the main, as we have, you know, gone around the office and asked them, everyone was like, oh yeah, because it's safe. So that's why we love Dubai. And not only, it's not only safety, the weather is amazing. I know that some people do think it's hot, but it's better than being cold.
It's interesting that we say that. And my mom, who's come from an Ireland country, she's come from Ireland where it's colder. And she says the cold gets in her bones. And she says it's amazing being here. But interestingly, the three top countries of happiest countries in the world are Nordic countries where it's essentially freezing. And yet they still rank really highly. So,
I mean,
the jury's out.
Yeah, but I think it depends. It varies from one person to another. For example, like me, I would always choose the UAE. Number one for me. So, now let's jump to our next story. The UAE calls for a ceasefire in Gaza. Reem Al-Hashimi, UAE Minister of State for International Cooperation, along with counterparts from Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Jordan, and the General Secretary of the Palestinian Liberation Organization, convened with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken for the Arab American Ministerial Gathering focused on Gaza. Now, Blinken unveiled a draft. Now, this draft, it's a draft resolution calling for an urgent ceasefire, emphasizing the need for a political resolution to the conflict.
The meeting, which was held in Cairo, saw discussions on the draft resolution, which Washington plans to present to the UN Security Council, linking the ceasefire to efforts to secure the release of hostages after the US rejected all previous attempts to call for a ceasefire in Gaza. Blinken now mentioned that they're collaborating with Egypt and Qatar on a robust ceasefire plan, which has received a response from Hamas.
Well, I think honestly that this is about time, and it's about time that all of the Arab countries are uniting to end what's happening in Gaza. The genocide needs to stop, and the ceasefire has been, you know, it has been a topic that has been all around ever since October 7th, and which, by the way, it's very heartbreaking seeing it happen over and over again. It just never ends. Just because the media stopped talking about it does not mean it has ended. And the fact that all of the Arab countries collaborated, united, it's just like, I would say, is a bold move.
And it's so, I agree, and it's so scary when you think about how much power one country is holds, because, for example, we have structures in place for when something happens, countries should be able to get together, there should be the power of a vote. However, we've seen the US veto on a number of occasions, so we're hoping that this is a strong enough move that veto will be passed on mm-hmm. and a ceasefire will be put into place. You mentioned there, it's been since October 7th. Every day we discuss the numbers. Nearly 2 million people have had to leave their homes. We've talked about the starvation that we've seen in the last couple of months. Now people are talking about a famine, which is created by, you know, sometimes we see famines. This has been created by us as people.
That's true.
Which is the scariest and most heartbreaking thing. So we really hope that this will lead to a more firm resolution on the ceasefire.
100%. And as well, you know, Casey, we see everything from behind the screens. So I just can never, ever imagine how it is like for them to be on site, like living everything in reality. Mm. Yes, 100%. So now, let me tell you guys about this Dubai resident who got called out for trying to abandon their cat. Dubai residents noticed that someone was using an app to abandon their cat, claiming to not have the time to take care of the poor kitten, it looks so sad, and even dropping their location, which was in Sports City, on the Hayy application, which by the way means my community, and of course residents got concerned.
So this is the message. Hey guys, I've got a full white ragdoll cat, age 6 months, and I don't have time to take care of her. It hurts the soul. If you have a baby, fur baby, and if you love them dearly, then that's not the type of message that you'll respect. So a resident called Nicola, she saw it. She spotted the photo of the kitten, which shows her in the car. And what she was doing, she was worried that the owner might be trying to abandon her. So Sophia then responded, providing alternatives to dumping the baby kitten, such as, you know, let's not just dump her, let's put her into shelters, maybe check with friends. And in a very sad way, Nicola ended up finding the abandoned kitten on the street. So this is kind of a course of events.
And of course, residents did not let this slide, as according to the UAE law, residents caught abandoning pets will face fines up to 10,000 dirhams. According to the Abu Dhabi municipality, as a pet owner, it is your responsibility to look after the pet in your care. If you find yourself unable to, ask around or find a shelter to put your pet up for adoption, which is actually the case, because like I just don't like it when someone, let's say they get a dog or they get a cat and they just like forget that this is a being. It has a soul. How can you just like abandon it and just like put it out in the streets?
And I find that there's two types of people in the world, because there's so many of you out there who care so much about Adopt, Don't Shop, about helping the rescue shelters. I know a lot of you donate quite regularly to the kind of very strong ecosystem of rescue shelters here, that, you know, that they have hundreds of cats and dogs. And your comments coming through just kind of show the passion and the care that you have. But then there's other people that just don't see it the same way. You know, it's just surprising that someone can just kind of be so quick to just pop it online, like, hey, I don't want my cat anymore. So the comments are really sweet, you know. They're saying, I'll take her. Is she safe now? But then they're also just recognizing that there is a problem of people dumping animals.
That is true.
It's there. And in that case, let's kind of maybe shout about the rescue shelters and make more noise about how important it is to adopt, not shop. And if we can donate our time and money to the rescue shelters, we should do so.
I think what happens is when someone gets a cat or a dog, they get them and they forget that they use them as a toy, as a teddy bear, you know, and they forget that this is a being that you need to feed, you need to take care of, that you need to just like, it's like a child. It's like a child, you know, just like, except that this child is not going to grow up the way that other, let's say, like an actual human child. You know what I mean? However, the sad thing is that once they are done or get bored with the cat or the dog, they go like to either give them up or dump them in the streets. And you see that they are very vulnerable. They really are, and they kind of like struggle. Like, look at the cat; she looks so sad, and it's just like it's very heartbreaking, and it's cruel. It's genuinely cruel. I'm sorry to whoever is what listening, and if you guys think that what I'm saying is like mean, it's not mean. It's just like it's cruel. It is actually cruel and mean of you to just like think like, hey, I'm done with this dog. I'm done with this cat. Let me just like put it out. I don't want her anymore. I don't want him anymore.
Yeah. It's so interesting because I always find in the comments, usually comments are meant to be for debate. They're meant to be for an open flow of discussion. But when the public court of opinion goes one way, it's very rare that you'll get someone jumping in and having their side of the story. So public court of opinion in this is that is cruel. It is wrong. Adopt, don't shop, yada, yada, yada. However, we know that there's people that act differently. We know that there's people that buy from pet shops. We know that there's people who will leave the country and leave their animal behind. But you never see that conversation played out, because I think the people know in their hearts that it's wrong.
That is true.
Which is interesting.
100%.
8:49. Just as a reminder, before we jump into our final story, we're giving away this beautiful Jamali gift box. And if you'd like it, just tag your bestie, tag Bay, tag a person who deserves it, and we'll get that out to you.
Hey, I need this gift.
Or you can come to us to pick it up. jumping into our final story, the incredible work of volunteers in the UAE. We talk so often about how people are so giving in this country, and this is a real example of that. Volunteers handed out over 70,000 iftar meals in 1 week. People of all ages joined forces with Dubai Police to hand out those meals to those stuck in traffic. So this comes in line with an incredible initiative.
As well, you guys, as Casey has mentioned that this comes in line with the Ramadan Without Accidents initiative, aiming to enhance road safety during the holy month of Ramadan. That's amazing. That is amazing. And my dad got one of those boxes because like he was like stuck in traffic and it's like, oh, I want to reach home and he's fasting. So that and he, because like you think, you know, when you're stuck in traffic, you'd want to reach home, which causes a lot of accidents and you want to break your fast and all of these things. And
shout out Dubai, please.
Literally.
It's so amazing.
Of course.
You know, there's a couple of things in place that make it's such a, how do you describe Ramadan in Dubai to other people? Because I think it's a, I can imagine it's different to how it's celebrated in other cities, but even in our office, it just feels like it's a vibe. But I don't know how to put it into words to describe. We know it's a time when people give back. We know people are under pressure in terms of being hungry and tired. But it's a very nice time for the city. There's a slower pace of life. Work pulls back a little bit. You see incredible initiatives like this. You see people giving in all walks of life. And then the city itself tries to highlight that, you know, it's a great time to be in the city.
100%. And everyone knows all around the world that Ramadan is the holy month of kindness, giving, and just like being like very zen and so on. And aside from all of the, let's say, we interviewed a lot of, you know, initiatives and organizations that are actually giving, just like the Giving Family, Goodwill, and so on. And they're all giving. But aside from all of that and all of the people that we have interviewed and we have mentioned on our website, as well, the Dubai Police is contributing to giving, to humanity, I would say, in Ramadan. And whether, by the way, you're like a Muslim or not, they're just going to be giving out. You know, they're not going to be like, oh, yeah, are you fasting? Yeah, there you go. There you go. If you're not fasting, 100%. You know what I mean?
And also what's cool is if you're flying into Dubai at the moment, they're doing a Ramadan in Dubai stamp on your passport, which is a beautiful memento. And just in terms of the giving, yesterday, a couple of us joined Fadi Musalat, who's part of the Giving Family. Mm-hmm. And it's a really great afternoon if you have some time. What they do there as a team in terms of managing the meals, the organization, packing the food, setting, I would say there is between 150 of us down in Al Khuz in a residential neighborhood. And what we were doing was we were carrying the plastic bags up full of food. And then there was a big queue of people waiting to receive them, I guess anyone who wanted a meal on that day. And I think we gave, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe 5,000-6,000.
Wow.
There was 1,000.
No, wow.
There was definitely a 000, but I'm not sure which one. And after, I really loved how Fadi spoke because he was like, you know, he kind of gave a round of applause to everyone, but he was like, look, just remember, it's not about us.
It's about
at
them.
All. And like, I kind of got the impression he was saying, you know, we're not praising ourselves. It's about the people that we're here to help for. And it's not about, okay, great, you can have a chat, but it's not about socializing. It's about giving back to the community. And that the purpose of like helping people, which I thought was really special.
It is, by the way. And I, of course, you know, I wasn't there. Sadly, I wish I was there. Had some personal things to do. But of course, I bet that you must have felt like you are actually, you felt good on the inside giving out to someone. Because like, again, like when you're giving out to people and you're being humanitarian and so on, you are, the thought of like you are actually doing something humanitarian, just like I would say eases your mind and eases your soul, which is the whole point of kindness and giving in Ramadan. You know, it goes both ways because like both parties do get benefits. You know, like when, you know what I mean? Like fine, like you are helping someone, but as well, you are grounding yourself in a way.
Yeah, that's what the number of people that we've spoken to who started these, the Giving Family, mm-hmm. Draw a Smile, Dubai Goodwill, they say that the impact it has on other people. But for me personally, I feel like it's so less, you know?
Yeah.
I went for an afternoon. I feel like, for me, I'd like to maybe, you know, go more, do more. Yeah. And once you go once and you see the impeccable work that they're doing and how much work that goes into it, that I feel like nearly like, okay, I've gone for an afternoon, but that's so small in comparison to how many other people do so much more. But you really see it's not just it's not just like honey, like the amount of organization they need, even from like the kitchens, the meal prep, the putting the meals together, the boxes of people down there. By the way, Mona Catan was down there.
Yeah.
Just handing out bags, like really smiley, really
that
lovely.
Is so sweet.
The whole, it looked like there was a big team from Huda Beauty, yeah. but everyone was just kind of working as one, and they were a well-organized machine and just up and down, handing out like hundreds to thousands of meals. It was amazing. So if you have time, I'd really recommend different locations. Mapped out different ways to do it, but they're every single day throughout the holy month. There's a number of initiatives doing it. Doesn't matter where you go, just find someone nearby. And the more you can help, the better.
100%. And by the way, the fact that you are the idea after you're done with, let's say, giving out food or even donating, even if it's one dirham, as you know, the other day our guest has mentioned. The fact that you are the reason you made someone else smile, that is just like beautiful. Because like, you know, for sure, that is as well, by the way, in Islam and in Ramadan, that is like you get good deeds for it. The fact that even if you smile in someone's face, or even if you, let's say, give out something, even if it's something as little as, you know, I mentioned like earlier, one dirham. And the fact that you guys gave out food yesterday was just like beautiful. And I bet everyone felt happy and just like content.
It was a really nice afternoon, I must say. And because it was Mother's Day, Fatty then had roses. And my mom was there and he gave her a rose and she was just like...
That is so sweet.
Anywho, 8:56. We hope your comments have come in. We have them open. So please tag someone. And what we do after the show is we will DM you. We'll let you know if you've won. And then we will figure out getting this to you. Or are you coming to the office to pick it up? What a treat. 8:56 on a Friday morning. Have a fabulous day. Ramadan Kareem to all. And we'll see you back here on Monday morning, same time, same place. Goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.